Da Bears.
What is up? The boys are back. Episode 54.
Urlacher.
Of the Bare Minimum Podcast. Today is Friday, November 4th. Join with the bestest friends in the whole world. Producer Jake is here.
Bears.
Dada Dale's here.
Bears.
Sammy Stats, big wedding season. Big wedding vibes. Him and the missus. Sammy Stats not going to be here today.
So Bears from Sam.
Bears from Sam. But it's a three-man weave. We are the Bare Minimum Podcast. Bush. Bush. On Facebook, the Bare Minimum Podcast. Guys, we're on Twitter at the Bare Min Pod. Instagram, the Bare Minimum Podcast. Venmo. Although the raffle's over, Venmo's still always open. At the Bare Minimum on Venmo. If you're ever looking to sponsor an episode, you guys want to throw the boys a little cheese. Studio's coming
old
along.
Cheddar.
Doing a lot of stuff with that, guys. It goes a long way. So much appreciated. Boys.
Yeah,
Barcos.
How the hell are we doing?
Can I ask you a different question first?
What's up?
How the hell are you doing?
Oh.
You know?
Changing it up.
I'm doing good. My favorite football team lost by three scores almost a week ago now.
And roller coaster.
And I'm chilling.
Big chilling.
I'm chilling.
We're okay with it.
Guys, so okay with it.
How was your Halloween?
Halloween was fun times. Mm-hmm. Like, now that COVID is winding down and everybody's coming out of their, you know, scared holes and stuff, like, now it's like, hey.
Not to get political.
Hey, kiddos. Yeah, not to get political. Hey, kiddos. Welcome back. Like, we used a lot of our candy. And there's a lot of kids. We had a good amount of trick-or-treaters. How about you guys?
What was your strategy? Were you just full handfuls, one at
a
time?
Oh, at the beginning, yeah, it was.
I'm always afraid.
Throw it at them?
I'm always afraid that I'm not going to have enough candy to it because I think we're going to have like 300 kids. Never, ever the way that goes.
Oh, my gosh.
So like probably the first like 50 kids, I'm like one or two because like, I want to have enough. But then by the end of it, I'm like, hey, marshmallow for the eighth time today. Here you go. Coffee cups worth of just shit.
We finally had kids in our neighborhood for the first time because the first 2 years we were here, we really – didn't have any kids come by for Halloween. You're in like an actual subdivision, so that makes a big difference. Lots of little kids.
I'm sure they were shuttling motherfuckers there too.
Oh, there was dudes pulling kids on their like riding lawnmowers and shit through this neighborhood. It was awesome.
Oh, I had everybody driving by and like all the parents were riding golf
side
carts
by sides.
And side by sides.
That's awesome. I do have a gripe with like the parents that just follow their kids as the kid walks and the parents drive. Get your ass out the car and go walk with your child. What are we doing?
I almost got in trouble because
you talk shit to.
Tell us what happened. Well, because there's a kid coming up, and I mean, he's got a mustache.
Producer Jake.
But in like a like unicorn costume, and I'm like, Kate, if he comes here, I'm gonna say something, because he's like, he's past prime. And then, of course, as he's walking up.
Phrasing.
That's wild.
For Halloween trick-or-treating. Yeah, I hear it now. Thank you for calling me out on that.
Mike Barbell, do your magic.
Do your worst.
For Halloween trick-or-treating. But, of course, like as he's walking around and I start to stand up and Kate starts to tell me to shut my fucking mouth, his younger sister comes around in a princess costume. He's her unicorn. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ah. He did not get as much candy as she did. She got a full Dale handful.
That's crazy.
He got some Starburst.
Are you guys like full candy bars? Are you guys little candy bars? Do you guys buy value packs?
I buy the mixed bag.
Yeah, mixed bag for sure.
Yeah, I'm not full candy.
But bars. Of what I like. So yeah. I was sitting there. Me and Amy sat outside all night handing it out. And I was just eating it the whole time.
Kate's parents, which Andy listens to, so he might hear this.
Shout out!
They brought like a generic bag of mixed candy, and I was secretly making fun of them the whole night.
Nobody wants that.
Because it was like chocolate with nougat. What's the name of the candy bar?
I want a Mr. Good Bar.
There you go.
What's your all-time favorite candy?
All-time favorite is tough. So
Three?
So I'm a big gummy candy guy. If I had to pick a chocolate one, it's going to be Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Peanut butter.
And then probably like a Sour Patch watermelon before the kids.
Sure.
And then I've been really hooked on just the individually wrapped Twizzlers. Dude, I don't know why.
I don't like licorice.
Especially the cherry one.
Nah.
I don't like, and I've tried and tried with licorice. Yeah, you can peel it off.
Peel it. It's fun.
Nah.
I don't like that, dude. I'm like, I'm all chocolates. I don't like the gummies. Like, Reese's, in no particular order. Reese's.
Peanut butter.
Like Butterfingers. I like a good Heath bar. Dude, Heath bar. Heath bar's right side. Undefeated is peanut M&Ms, but that's like in a whole other class. That's like its own dessert.
I threw up a whole Heath bar in the wrapper one time in college.
It
was bad. I had alcohol poisoning.
Guys.
Reese's Pieces, Swedish Fish.
Yep.
And, Pizza Fish.
Like, this is a bit of a throwback for Halloween candy. I loved Dots.
Oh.
Dots were good. The problem I had with them is, like, you couldn't chew them.
No, that's the last.
You tried to bite one, and you would rip out a healthy tooth.
Oh, yeah. You got to soak those things for
a bit. You
know
what candy I always liked as a kid, and, like, I haven't had it now as an adult? I don't even know what the names are. You guys remember the little pack of, they were, like, hard candies, but they were fruits. There was, like, a banana, then they tasted like one.
Oh, Runts.
Is that Runts?
Runts. Yes.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
The banana. Everyone knows
the banana. The banana was great. I didn't really care for it. I could have done a whole thing of those. Or like the Spider-Man chalk sticks.
Mm-hmm.
You guys remember those?
No.
Those were like
Amy was giving those out.
They look like chalk.
Cigarettes.
They look like cigarettes like or like little chalk pieces. Sure. But like they're just little.
Did you guys ever fuck with stick. Fun Dip?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Was never my thing.
Fuck
like
yeah,
a bag of sugar.
Oh,
and Jake's like,
a bag of sugar on a sugar stick.
Yeah, exactly.
I need your guys' opinion on this because now that Halloween's over, I'm being looked at like a total serial killer here. And I think I know where you guys stand, and you guys know where I stand. It's Christmas.
Nope.
Fuck you guys.
Nope.
It's Christmas
Black Friday.
For the day after Halloween.
No.
The 3 days of Thanksgiving. No. Maybe you could take a break. And then Christmas episode 2 from Black Friday.
Electric Boogaloo.
From Black Friday, basically all the way to all
you lost
June.
Me, dog.
93.9 is preset. Delilah is back.
Good old Delilah.
Guys, I love Christmas music. I love the season. I don't even care so much for like Christmas Day, whatever. It's fun. I get to see the fam and stuff. But like, dude, it's just the... Even if people are fake being happy, like, great.
See, you need to give Thanksgiving its respect.
Yeah.
That's what I'm seeing.
Whoa.
But no, you're not.
No.
See, like,
if you have
Christmas decorations up.
Ain't no Thanksgiving decorations.
Still?
Yeah, I mean, you could. Yeah, why not?
I'm not putting
so
up.
So that's
a,
like saying, hey, I don't need you to decorate for my birthday that this week. But please don't decorate for his birthday that's next week.
I think apples and oranges right there.
I don't know.
Because there's no.
A turkey's birthday, Jesus' birthday.
What's the difference?
No. Is that not?
I don't know, dude. Thanksgiving is such a centralized, like, you really only need, like, you need Black Wednesday, you need Thanksgiving, and you need Black Friday. So, like, those 3 days.
Yeah, but that's like a
what about Cyber
3 day
Monday?
Rager.
Cyber Monday.
Nah, fuck yeah, Cyber Monday.
Get out of my.
I don't need that shit.
I love Christmas music, and don't be surprised if when I'm in your
Black
car.
Black Friday.
I'm doing a thing where, like, if I get in your car. All Christmas music presets on the radio. Christmas music.
You're the devil.
The devil. Ooh, how do you file a missing persons report? Can I just, is it like a Michael Scott?
Do you need to file an APB?
I declare bankruptcy. I'd like to file a missing persons report.
Upon whom?
Unpaid intern Jose. Guys, he's been in Vegas and we haven't heard from him. I worry about our guy. 1-800-GAMBLER.
So I did see he was at a casino or book. And I got concerned. That being said, I have seen some posts since then. So
okay.
But he's not in them.
And he might just be like lost in the sauce. Like he's missing. He's still here, but is he here though? Like I saw him at one point playing.
Lights are on, no one's
home. Dude, he's playing like a vending machine. It's like one
of. Yeah, I saw that too.
It's like a skill crane, like the little skill arm or whatever. And instead of like. Stuffed animals like you would do
it's
at any
money.
It's money, it's little orbs of money.
Speaking of gambling, I mean, you guys know I kind of played a silly on you the other night.
Yeah. It was like this motherfucker got it.
Like that.
I went to an event for work and it was like casino night, so it was all like it was a fake casino. You could play blackjack, craps, or roulette, and you were given 5,000 in chips, and at the end of the night every 1,000 you had was a raffle ticket, right? So the night started off, I played blackjack all night, just stayed at the same table because I was just talking with the dealer. Opened up, tipped him up front, and then
with chips, or did you tip him like money?
No, real money. Yeah, gave him real money.
JK, I didn't, just, he's like, thanks. If I was at the
casino, if I'm at the casino, I tip him, you know, chips, but okay.
No, so tipped him, and then, you know, I lost like the first few hands, but then, you know, he just started like giving them away to me. I mean, it was the most fun I've ever had playing blackjack.
Granted, I bet.
There was
when
no
you were winning,
but there's no stake. There's no stake in it. But I was like getting all excited because I was with two coworkers, and they're just like, "Wow, great play!" Because like I flipped 19. Okay, dealer flips a 10, and he looks, and he has 20.
Right, he's got
he
a
has
face.
20. So he's dealing out the cards. Someone's got 11, and they flip a 2, and he just looks at it and he just gives me the 2. I'm like, and they're like, "Wow, Jake, that's incredible."
Wait, were they not going like, "Wait, what you can't do?" Yeah.
Like, meanwhile, like
everybody's just like, "Whoa!" Just all excited.
So nobody
he just
plays
goes
blackjack,
through the deck and pulls out a king and an ace and hands it to
him. Well, yeah, I mean, like, and then you'd be playing like, I've got 19, and I'm like waving it off, and he's like, "You sure?" Because he's got 20. I'm like, "All right."
I was like, "That's the old, you're losing. You might as well try."
Now everybody in the office is like, "Jake's a degenerate."
Oh, for sure.
Jake gambled.
Jake
heavy.
Ends up with like 50 more raffle tickets than anyone else. He starts walking around with bracelets at the office.
It was awesome. I didn't win anything with the raffle, but it was fun.
You lost. Well, and so the funny part about this was then Jake sends everybody a picture of his chips. It's just a stack of, I think, a total of like $9,000 worth of chips, or 9,000 total.
That was early, too. I ended up with 40 at the end.
We're like, fuck.
Do you remember the raffle that the four of us did following that scramble? And we cleaned fucking house.
Dude, they were
so
mad at
us. We got like yearly memberships to Brookfield Zoo for like 10 people. We got liquor. We got golf experiences.
That was incredible.
That was great.
We were ripped out of our minds.
We were drunk.
We each won like 2 or 3 prizes.
Oh, yeah. And people started to get pissed. But we also spent more than everyone else.
And we also hit more golf balls that day than anybody else.
Oh, that was early on for you and me, too. We were fucking bad.
Guys, a couple quick shout-outs. Right, big happy birthday to the greatest punt returner / kick returner of all time, Devin Hester. If you didn't know, now you know. Also, today is the 6-year anniversary of Sammy Stats jumping off a horse in Chicago.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah, six years ago that happened. That's
that
I can't believe.
Awesome.
I went to work that day.
I can't.
That's one
work.
Of my biggest regrets.
I was working at work as well. I remember because we had like. ESPN on showing the parade and everything, and I'm sitting there. This was back when I was just on the help desk, so I'm sitting there like watching it, just waiting for the phone to ring. And then all of a sudden, there's Sam standing on top of a horse statue
doing a trust fall.
It's like, oh my god, I'm gonna watch my friend die right now.
We're all gonna die,
dude. That I can't believe that was 6 years ago. Like,
and what was crazy was. I couldn't call you guys because you're in a mass of 3 million
oh, yeah.
people.
So nobody's
and
phone.
No cell signals going through.
Is that Sam?
So I'm just like waiting hours.
Shout out unpaid intern paid intern Swolmar.
Yeah, shout out paid intern Swolmar because he saved Sam and Kenny's life that day.
Yeah.
And also shout out unpaid intern Jose. 1-800-GAMBLER, get some help. We miss you, bud.
You want to talk some Bears?
Yeah, guys, let's get into some Bears. So let's do a recap here. I teased it a little bit earlier, but the Bears lose 29-49 to the Dallas Cowboys. This is, in our Bears fandom, we've had a lot of 3-score defeats. I would tell you I felt better after this one than I felt, and recency bias, I felt better about this one than I felt after any of the other ones. It was a game that shook out kind of like I thought. It was close up until the Micah Parsons strip sack. And
you're going to say it was shook out like how you thought it would?
It kind of did shake out. Like, there's fandom me, and then there's like realistic me.
You were saying we're
going to win. I was saying Bears take the money. Yeah, Bears on the money line. And I did take that, right? Just in case it did hit. But that's what you're going to get with teams like the Dallas Cowboys, teams like the Philadelphia Eagles. You got the Buffalo Bills. These are elite, complete, put-together teams that can just beat you in all 3 phases. And you held your own. You held your own up until a couple unfortunate plays and a couple plays went against you.
which you kind of want in this case, like to look good in the right areas and fuck up in the less important areas, like fucking up early in the season with Velus Jones, where we lose a game on a, you know, muff punt.
Yeah, too.
Those are totally acceptable losses. And then in this situation where, you know, you battle back, you get within five after being down 20 or something. You like to see that you have that capability. Granted, you end up blowing it in the end because of a, you know, defensive score, and their offense just kept rolling as well. But it's promising to see that the offense, three games now in a row, is scoring.
That's a huge part of it, I think, is that there's touchdowns being put up upon the board. We are fucking, what is it, a failed two-point conversion or two away from cracking 30 again this year, which would have been huge. That's the only thing that I'm looking at this game, hoping that we executed better in those situations, just to say we dropped another 30-burger. Otherwise, I think you're absolutely right. At the beginning of this year, our whole conversation was progress Justin Fields, make it out alive, have a decent draft pick. We accomplished all three of those things today.
Yeah, you'll take a bunch of games like this. I know today. That we want wins. Like, I know that we want wins. But we want sustained success more than you want wins. And in this case, like, to have Justin Fields, go back to Jake's quarterly progression model, game where Justin takes another step forward. And guys, Justin didn't have this incredible Josh Allen-esque stat line. 17 of 23, 151 yards, two touchdowns. He had another 40, 50 yards on the ground or something like that.
That's 6.5 yards per attempt.
As is
that's
common.
That's bad.
Guys, I mean, like, that's not lighting up the world. But you don't need to light up the world when you have the number one rushing team in the NFL. Like, it's... this game and the last couple games have shown you that the Bears are now really, like, not only understanding their identity, because they've kind of known you're a run heavy team since the beginning, but you're a run heavy team that, like, is now starting to figure out when to take your shots and when to try to make these plays and really using some of those skills from your position players to your advantage. I say it all the time, square peg, round hole. You're not seeing a lot of that this year.
Oh, and I mean, I think the glaring thing for Justin and the offense is past week is 151 yards through the air, and while that's absolutely something that people should talk about, at the same time, we rushed for like 240 yards. He himself ran for 60 and a tutty. I mean, throw that on the passing line and you feel real good about that performance.
It is crazy what they're doing on the ground.
Oh,
bananas.
So, like we said the past week or two, they're developing an offense for their personnel. They're taking those Lamar plays and giving them to Justin. They're changing them, sure. And they're not copying playbooks, but they're actually playing to their strengths. It's, as a fan, it's way more fun to watch.
And even things like using Velus Jones now as not your outside receiver. Now you're seeing, I know you only saw him two times on rushing plays, but guys, he had two rushes, about 35 yards, like these little jet sweeps, these plays to get him out in space, use that speed. A lot of these little things that, like, dude, continue to do this. Continue to use Justin. You didn't see Justin because of how the game shook out. You didn't see many of those design runs that you saw from the Patriots game, but they're there.
He still ran eight times.
Yeah.
We're good with that.
Yep.
And frankly, you use those Velus plays, they continue to do that, and they continue to help use that to open up play action. I mean, that's how offenses are successful. That's how the 49ers run their offense. They'll run the same exact play three different times, but one time they hand it off to Velus, one time it goes to Monty, one time they throw it. That's how they find success. I think that's what we need to keep doing.
Yeah, I would like to, if we are going to play the critique game a little bit, and it's just like...
Oh, we should, absolutely.
We're just shooting the shit. Like, Justin Fields needs to get down or get out of bounds. I don't know who it needs to be. I don't know if it needs to be one of these veterans. That's why I sometimes wish that, like, the Bears would have taken a chance at a backup quarterback like RG3. Like somebody like that.
Cam,
exactly.
Touchdowns by a quarterback.
Put somebody in there that has played that position like you're trying to play the position right now and did not have as long of a career as they would have liked to because of their young, just naive recklessness as a quarterback. You like it, but, dude, that is not sustainable.
I think Cam's a perfect example, actually, because that was his downfall. Is he ended up getting so banged up.
I mean, Josh Allen though does the same thing.
Oh yeah,
dude will be up 30 and just run into people. It's like maybe you should go down.
It just is like when you, because again, it goes back to if number one is dead, we're dead.
That it's is a fact.
It's the old Peyton Manning story.
It's the old Peyton Manning thing. We don't practice fucked. If Peyton
if
goes,
goes
down,
down
yeah,
we're
if 18
fucked.
Goes down,
we don't practice fucked.
We're fucked. We don't practice fucked. It's the same thing. Like you can't. Like you can't open your, especially when there's some of those ones, guys, where you, and I can't even speak to it specifically, but like you've seen those plays where Justin, you know, just doesn't, he doesn't throw it away. He takes that unnecessary
it's
hit.
A throwaways.
He takes a hit at the sideline and they put, dude, that's how you try to brace your hand and you break a wrist. You do something weird. You don't need these big 300-pound, 350-pound linemen chasing you and falling on you.
It's those sideline plays that you're talking about. It's the ones where he doesn't get out of bounds, and it's the ones where he waits to the last second to get out of bounds so that the defender can now put his hands on you. Like, you're about to get checked to the ground because you didn't step out a step sooner.
Yeah, well,
and
he
if they
also,
do, give me that flag.
Yeah.
He also never just throws it over the sideline. Never.
No.
Never.
Chuck it.
Like, how many – all quarterbacks in the past that we've seen – you know, they'll be in the, they'll roll out of the pocket. Nothing's there. I'm throwing it to the fans. You know, they'll just chuck one. It's, Justin never does that.
It's the live to fight another play, another series, another drive. It's those types of plays that like, and again, he's young, 18, 19 starts in the NFL. This is his third season. Like he's now at least so far, you believe he's under like confident, what, two seasons?
Second yeah. season, right?
Yes, second season.
Yeah, I was like, wait.
Sorry. Second season, you know, second regime. It's just one of these things where, like, you want him just to continue to get smarter, to learn from these things. But, like, dude, give yourself a shot. Let's talk about defense, right? Mm-hmm. Defense is tough. And defense, we've known about this. And I think that the defense, you can draw a line basically between Eddie, Kyler, Jaquan, and Jalen. And then you've
everyone else.
And then you've got everybody else. The back end of that defense plays pretty well. Kyler and Jaquan again had another game. Eddie Jackson and the resurgence of Eddie Jackson has been just wonderful to see.
Because of the outstanding play that we saw yet again of Jaquan Brisker. Another sack, another seven tackles. I mean, he's electric.
He's in the conversation for Defensive Rookie of the Year, if not like your favorite. I wonder what odds are on that. We should look into that.
I'm a degenerate.
Yeah, do it right now. But then you've got the interior. You got defensive line and you got linebackers that like Tony Pollard, guys. I think I saw a number that it was like 6 or 7 yards average before contact for the entire game.
Well, yeah. So everybody's now talking about how great Tony Pollard is and should Zeke be the starter. It's like, whoa, context playing the Bears and their poor defensive line versus one, the Dallas Cowboys spectacular offensive line, and also we can't stop shit on the run. No. We're averaging 150 yards against per game.
They just put up another 200.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like Zeke probably would have done the same exact thing.
You can get Jaquan for plus 3,000 right now, plus 4,000 on some sites.
Oh, I must have been wrong then, but
yeah, so like Sauce Gardner's up there.
Oh, that's true.
Woolen, Hutchinson, or Hutchinson, Thibodeau.
What's Sauce? What's his?
Sauce is like plus 100, 170. He's a hands down favorite. He's also really good.
I mean, we could just throw a couple bucks, see what happens.
Throw a couple in unit.
Bye. Okay. But I mean, you know, like there's little things like this. If he puts up a season of this and you see some regression from guys like Sauce or Hutchinson, you never know. I mean, the linebackers were brutal. The defensive line was brutal. And this is just the same song and dance that you've seen all season. This iteration of this Bears defense is just not great against the run.
This is a darkest timeline for the Bears defense right now. You've lost.
Yes.
Like everyone.
Even in the last few years when they've been bad on offense, the defense has been.
Mm-hmm.
Except last year. Last year they weren't that great either. The only bright spot was Robert Quinn having 18 and sacks.
Right.
Yeah. I will say that like Jalen Johnson, another big bright spot for him.
Sure.
They've asked him to do what he hasn't done as a Bear really to this point in his career, is he has primarily, at least the last two games, I believe, shadowed the best wide receiver on that team. And instead of playing your side, my side, nope, I follow you.
Take him.
And great. We just paid you. Mm-hmm. You're this lockdown corner that we hope you are going to be. Like, we need you to be that guy. And then let Kyler Gordon go up against everybody's number two. And then get the help from Eddie and from Jaquan up on the top.
Did we pay Jalen Johnson?
I believe we just extended him, didn't we?
I do not believe so. I would be very surprised.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Anyways, it might be fake news. Sorry about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's fake news. That's why I was like, ooh, hold on.
So it's just another version of this game, guys. Or it's another one of these games where, like, hey, it is what it is. Like, you saw some things. You can pick and choose your nice things that you see from these defeats, and you just want to see the boys continuously get better.
My favorite part was just coming back.
Yeah.
Being down.
Oh, yeah. Battling.
20-something points and then coming back within five.
And you were a questionable couple two-point conversions away from, like, maybe that game doesn't get out of hand for you. I didn't necessarily like the two-point when you were down.
Downing Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
He's on the ground.
Touch him down.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, that was tough.
Those ones I wasn't too mad about. Like, I heard people all week, like, they're super pissed about it. And it's like, dude. Like,
I'm not pissed about it. I'm trying to, like, think and justify it. You think. I'm wondering, has Justin been in a position where he's had to down someone yet? Is that the first instance? Because, like, in college, you don't have to. They're down. Like, if they're on the ground.
I don't think it fucking matters, really, because we're at the point where they lost by three scores, guys.
Yeah, but
no,
when
no, like
that
I said, like
happened.
I said, I'm not mad about it. I'm just trying to figure out, like,
oh, like, why did you just jump over him and not think
him?
To just turn
yeah.
around and
is it
because
in college you don't have to do that? You know, and
did you think someone else was
never,
there?
Right, and you've never been in that position.
Yeah, did you think somebody else downed him? Was it just a brain fart? Like, hey, at least it's mistakes that are coachable mistakes. You know,
hey, don't fucking do that. Okay, you got it, Matt.
I promise you, next time that happens, Justin Fields doesn't let that happen.
No, totally.
So it's one of those where
fucking kick him.
It's a coachable thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the end of the world. You know, you can't beat him up too bad.
Any other thoughts on defense?
Nothing on defense.
Let's do some grades.
Offensive side, I give those guys like a B plus, B,
nah.
B plus.
Nah.
Are you guys going to tell me that's an A?
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking like C plus, B minus.
I was thinking B minus. That strip sack really hurt. Really, really, really hurt me.
God, and there were some plays where, like, yeah, I'm with you guys. I won't come any lower than a B because you scored 29 points on a perennially bad offense. But there's a couple plays where, like, we need to get out of the habit of, like, leaving Justin just – there cannot be a free runner coming at Justin.
Those are so hard
to
watch.
He did it again,
though,
where
he gets
he rolled
hit
out
so
to the
hard.
Pressure side. I just love it.
Yeah.
That backspin. Every time, I'm like, yep, there it is.
But there was another one later on in that game that he
right
was –
right through the right guard. They come straight through that two-hole.
Right through, and he tried to do the little fake kind of spin, and they just went to his back shoulder and got him down. So – with all that being said, 29 points, 240 yards on the ground.
Right.
I'm at a B plus.
Give me you know what? I'll give him a B because 240 on the ground, 150 in the air. Like, if you tell me our offense is going to put up close to 400 yards a game, I'll say thank you every single time.
Producer Jake.
Wait, did Cole Kmet got a touchdown this game too?
Cole
right?
Kmet scored a goddamn touchdown.
Yeah.
First one of the last, like, 20-something games.
2 for 11 for a tutty.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's what happened to him.
No. I think that, like, because Getsy even talked about it this week. I bet you there's a lot of things with Cole that he does that is not just, like, when the offensive line is subpar, you're using these tight ends a lot more to stand and block, and these routes don't develop as much.
Yep.
I think that Cole's a big part of this offense moving forward. I still have a ton of faith in Cole Kmet, and you're going to get to the point here in the next couple of years where you're going to have to decide how much of a part he is and if he's a guy you're going to pay. So, that being said, I like Cole.
Grades for the defense?
You gave up almost 50 points.
I'm an F. Yeah. You gave up.
Do we have any turnovers?
Eddie had one. Yeah, Eddie had one, but you still gave up three touchdowns and I believe almost... What did Tony Pollard have on the ground?
Oh, like 160 yards on like seven attempts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 130 on 14 attempts for 9.4 average and three touchdowns.
I mean, I know the defense scored one touchdown on the other side, but you still gave up like
you gave up 42
points.
Yeah.
peppered like not just a couple bucks on Tony Pollard for three tutties. That was a nice little pull.
Wait, did you really?
I sure goddamn did.
Bastard.
God. You guys that, come that up paid with this out. Shit. Jesus. Yeah, I'm at a D minus.
Yeah, I was thinking like D minus.
I'll give you a D minus.
Yeah, I mean, a couple nice things. One other thing. You guys remember that play, the QB sneak, that all of a sudden Dak wasn't tackled by anybody and then just proceeded run like 20 yards down the right sideline? Coachable things. I promise you won't see that again for as long as you watch Bears football. But it's just this weird, like, one-off things. It's like, we're not meant to win this game.
That, and I'll switch to D now, actually. You got to remember the pool of talent that you're working with. We know these guys are not NFL starters. But, I mean, you got to play 53, man?
Yep.
Yeah, like, they all got to play.
Yep. Anything else on that recap, guys? Then let's look ahead. But we look ahead with a little different team.
Things a little different.
Things right? have changed.
So let's talk about some things that went on this week. Obviously, you guys know what's going on, but we'll give you guys our takes. First and foremost, Roquan Smith officially traded. Mm-hmm. The compensation now ends up being the Ravens 2023. No, the Chicago Bears.
Yes.
Second round pick.
Yep.
As well as, no, I think that's.
And a fifth.
And a fifth for Chase Claypool.
Sorry, were we?
No, my God, I'm backwards. I was reading that. Roquan got you a second
and a fifth.
And a fifth.
From the Ravens.
Yes. And AJ Klein, too, like 31-year-old replacement veteran linebacker. Yep. I think this was as good as you were going to get with Roquan Smith.
I would agree, especially because, I mean, this is what we kind of wanted to do with Robert Quinn last year was – you know, sell him in the right moment. It based on what Ryan Poles was saying, it was like, listen, we were not going to be signing him in the offseason. Like, we tried in the, you know, previously, we weren't going to franchise tag him. What we're going to do? Just let him walk? No, we're going to trade him for what we could get. He's not a premier position. You're not going to get a first round pick for him. I think a second and fifth is good for that. And now you don't have to be the one. I'm curious to see what that contract's going to look like. What did he want, 110?
He was asking for top linebacker money. The hard part is, like, you've got those guys lumped in with guys like Shaq Leonard and pass-rushing linebackers. Like
Bradley Chubb.
Dude, these guys are all, like, if you were going to talk about franchise-tagging Roquan Smith, that was...
Because the outside linebacker pays the same as the inside linebacker. Like, they're grouped together.
When it comes to franchise-tagging, linebackers get paid that much. So I think franchise-tagging Roquan was always out of the question.
On top of that, you know, with all the negotiations, when it didn't come to fruition, like when camp was coming around, all that nonsense happened where, one, he was holding out of, you know, playing, which is fine. But then he had some anonymous person acting as his agent looking for a trade and all this stuff.
And I love that Poles came out and said, like, part of it was how the whole negotiations went down beforehand.
Yep.
Like, the fact that that is part of this decision-making process of going, we're not confident that this will work.
Well, you had two holdout issues with Roquan. He held out his rookie year, and then he had the hold in, but that was a complete distraction and something that you as a new GM and a new head coach, you don't really need that cloud hanging over your team. I think that it was pretty telling that, like, those negotiations broke down, and I bet you they weren't even close.
Yep.
And I bet you that Ryan Poles, from basically when those negotiations ended, said, this guy's not going to be here long term, which is a bummer.
And then you also have to look at, like, the guys we could have traded. You could have potentially traded Eddie Jackson, you know, a former Ryan Poles guy who had a bad couple years but is having a good year now. You could have traded him. But I think what's happening, too, is that guy's buying in. They made him a permanent captain. You know, he's bought into everything that is happening. Same thing with Tevin Jenkins. You had issues with him before the start of the season. Injuries, you know, he started off on, like, second team and everything. But that dude's buying in as well, looking like a badass on this team.
Yeah, I think Roquan, guys, he just needed, like, you hit a point, and it goes back to a point that we talked about, I think, a couple months ago now. At the end of the day, Roquan was not their guy. They would have loved him. And Ryan Poles even said it in that presser, which, by the way, I appreciate all of these press conferences it's, that we're getting.
They're
from
really good.
The transparency. It's not this big 45-minute like long drawn out. Look at me.
And I don't feel like I'm being sold something.
Yeah, I'm not being sold anything. It's not a sales seminar. This is, hey, we're giving you guys as media. We're giving you guys as fans. They even talked to their players and their leadership council here and said, look, these are the moves that we're making. We think it's better if you guys hear it from us.
Yeah.
And we want you guys to know why we're doing this. Like, great. Great. Because the previous regime, we saw that guy, like I said, twice a year. And you just had to guess what the fuck is going on in Halas right now.
Someone, and we should mentally prepare ourselves for this, because of what happened with Roquan and the Bears, he's not coming back in free agency, folks.
No, guys.
If the Ravens don't resign him, he's gone. So with that, he thinks he's going to get paid like one of the top linebackers. He ain't getting paid. What a top five linebacker. Because would you take him over TJ Watt or Joey Bosa right now?
No.
Yep, there you go.
Those guys get to the quarterback. And that's the thing.
Off ball linebacker.
You're just you're not that guy.
And all speaking of trading him, he was a guy looking to get paid like a top five linebacker on a defense giving up over 150 yards rushing a game. What the fuck?
I
get it, you're tackling people, but like 5-10 yards down the field.
It's this fine line that we walk as sports fans to rationalize things in our head after moves like this are made, where then you start like Roquan's gone, and immediately we start like sifting through and picking through stuff, and we're like, well, you know, he did hold out twice, and you know, they are getting rushed on for 150 yards, and you know, he has had injury bug issues and this and that. You start making yourself feel better saying these things. And hey, whatever helps you cope, I'm all for it. As Bears fans, we know how it goes.
You know what my flavor of Kool-Aid is right now?
What is it?
Jack Sanborn.
Jack Sanborn season.
Jack Sanborn.
He's going to get the start.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
he's the guy
he's
now.
Going to get time.
Yeah. And it's good. It's good. You got a second. You got a fifth out of a guy who wasn't going to be here. You don't have to go through the franchise tag.
You got a veteran coming
in. You got a replacement guy. But with that second... It's gone now.
No, that second's not gone.
That second's
not gone. A different second's gone.
Different second.
The Bears' second is
gone. So this is where I fudged
up. That's right. Yes, you're right.
I did the same thing. I messed this up. So Roquan Smith was traded for a second-round pick and a fifth-round pick. Then a couple days later, hours before the trade deadline, the Bears moved a second-round pick to acquire Chase Claypool.
Mm-hmm. To clarify, the Bears own second round pick.
And it wasn't because we have two. You had the Ravens pick, which will probably end up shaking out to be like a high 40s, low... The Ravens pick would be a high 40s, low 50s pick. The Bears pick would be...
Probably top 10.
Yeah.
We're standing right now. We're looking at a top 10.
High 30s, low 40s.
Yeah, top 10 in the second round.
Yeah,
forgive me.
So I think it's just one of those things where, like, guys, like Chase Claypool is... Chase Claypool is a fantastic acquisition.
I agree. He's big. He's fast. He was a second round pick. He's been healthy for all of his seasons. He's played at least 15 games per season. He hasn't had any 1,000 yard seasons or 100 catch seasons. But also, you have to look at his quarterbacks. He was playing with a rookie this season so far, Kenny Pickett. He had 4 games of Mitch Trubisky, and then for the other 2 years, he was playing with Ben Roethlisberger's corpse.
Not inspiring a lot. Yeah, like, I'm not loving those.
What, the numbers?
Oh, no, just my options at quarterback there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Chase Claypool is kind of in the same boat as like some other guys where like regime changes, scheme changes, not regime, but like, roster changes. He had a bunch of different wide receivers or quarterbacks.
If what you know right now about Chase Claypool, and he was available in the first 10 picks of the second round, would you pick him?
That's different because you'd be getting him for 4 years, not a year and a half.
Okay, remove that from the.
Well, that makes a huge difference.
No, but I'm with
you. You know what I'm saying.
I take Chase Claypool strictly because I know what I'm getting in return to an extent. I know at least what the floor is right now with Chase Claypool. It's nice to have picks, and I've seen people complaining about it that, oh, I hate that the Bears gave up their second-round pick. It should have been the Ravens' second-round pick. Like, hey, that's the price you got to pay. to know that this is the floor for this guy with a ceiling that we don't even know right now.
Like, and we took him away from the Packers, who were actively pursuing him.
Packers were pursuing him. Patriots sound like they were in on it per Florio at the end of the deadline, right, too. There was a couple teams that were in on him.
So you have to think that the initial offer was the Ravens pick. And it's like, hey, we have teams offering seconds.
So you got to beef your offer up. And when the free agent class looks like the free agent class is going to look like, this is the price to pay. This could also be, like, I've thought about this. This is Ryan Poles. Now, I don't want to say he's fixing it because there were so many holes during the first draft that he went through that, like, you couldn't possibly address everything. But you hit the end of that draft and you didn't really put weapons around Justin Fields except for Velus Jones, and mm-hmm. we've known how that's gone to this point. Like, hey, you had a chance to then go get somebody, use some of this draft capital, and it's not like you only have 5 picks. Guys, you still got 8 picks in this upcoming draft. You still got $110 million to spend in free agency. But you're able to go out and get somebody that you know versus taking a second-round lottery pick. You can do the lottery pick thing. You can try to figure out, and you can try and hope and pray that who you're going to draft is the guy. But it's not for sure. You got a guy that's 6'4", running sub-4'4", 40s, and is just an absolute monster and wanted that change of scenery. Sign me up for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with that.
I'm down for it.
What do you guys see as the direction of the Bears right now? Because, go ahead.
Let me ask you this then. So another person that was talked about getting moved that didn't was Monty. Early guesses. Do you think he's still on the team next year? Do we sign him?
No.
You know, without even knowing what he could be valued at.
Correct.
Right. With no context, the answer is no.
I don't want Monty on the team next year.
You don't want him on
Khalil Herbert.
I love Monty.
Mm-hmm. You fucking need him.
I love Monty. I think he's great, and I hope that David Montgomery goes and plays for another team next year that pays him a shit ton of money and everybody's happy at the end. But I don't believe that you pay running backs in this league. I think that the return that you would have got for Monty wouldn't be enough to cause that much tension in the locker room, and still, like, you still need to field a team. Like, you would miss his pass blocking. You want Justin Fields to continue to develop. Where were you going to get a conditional 7th? Hey, at that point, just leave him on the team.
I'm with you 100%.
I don't think you had a bunch of offers for Monty. I'm happy that they didn't move Eddie Jackson. There's not many other guys like, other than Robert Quinn and Roquan, there weren't many other guys that you were moving anyways.
Well, because you're hoping that Jalen Johnson is here to stay for a while. You've got Eddie Jackson for a few more years. We got Cody Whitehair for another year. Like, I don't know who else another team would want.
My only thought is, because we all say it, you don't pay running backs. You don't pay running backs.
I mean, the NFL does it. They don't pay running backs, but...
What's that?
That's like literally because the NFL doesn't.
That's what
pay
I'm
running
saying. That's what I'm
well,
saying.
Well, they don't just... anymore. They had that 2 or 3 years where everyone got paid and Zeke got his money and Kamara got paid, and it's like, oh shit, we don't have to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm. So, what would be the lowest point you'd say yes, I'd sign Monty?
I mean, if he gives me like a 2-year sweetheart deal, I don't know what an annual average salary is.
I mean, and that's the thing. So. Monty, is he going to start somewhere?
Yeah, probably.
7-8 million to start somewhere?
For like 2 years. Like,
yeah, that's so the thing. If he's coming to me for four,
if
for 3 years?
Monty wants to give us a hometown or a sweetheart discount. Hey, I love it here. My family's here. This is where I want to be. I want to be a Bear for life.
It's close to Iowa.
If it makes sense, great. But go get your money. Like, are you sure you want to do this? Because you could command, like, some pretty high.
You're starting running
dollar.
Back. Go get paid. Khalil Herbert's $1 million for the next 2 years.
It's just running backs, dude. It's for every David Montgomery, there's a Khalil Herbert, there's a Tony Pollard waiting in the wings.
In that case, then, like, probably our 3rd or 4th round pick, we're going running back?
If that. You got a lot of money. You go spend money on a 1-2 year deal for another running back, make Khalil Herbert your guy.
See, I don't want to spend any money on backups. We need starters. We have so many holes.
You have $110 million.
Right, but think long term with that money.
Maybe you draft a running back. You're right. Maybe you draft a running back, especially with this upcoming class. Like, there's some good mid-round depth at that position, but like, you're not signing a star. I'm not advocating to sign a starting running back. Like, Khalil Herbert should get the bulk of the ball of the carries next year.
I'm with you.
All right. Just want to see.
I will ask you guys this question for Jose and for Grady.
Okay. Oh.
Either, neither, or both.
Oh. Oh.
Bears leading, Bears all-time leading pass-catching wide receiver, Darnell Mooney, Chase Claypool. Either, neither, or both.
Dale, this is your question.
I think they're going to re-sign Darnell Mooney. I think that's the answer.
What about Claypool?
So it does make it interesting.
Claypool's 24.
Right.
Like, he's a year and a half younger than Velus Jones, and Claypool's been in the league for 2 years.
Yep. I gotta stick with my guns. I got it at this point. Like, I'm invested in this.
Guys, anything else?
No.
Let's look ahead to the Bears-Dolphins game, a game that we will be at.
Bears.
You guys know about that raffle. So the boys are all getting together. Shout out to Joe Saracen, secondary winner of the contest. Guys, we hit a point there after that recording last week where we said, hey. Cameraman Sean, you're legally blind. You can't see too far.
We're sitting hundreds of feet away from the
edge. We're sitting in the 400 level with God.
Yeah, when you guys were like, how far away do you think the 400 level is?
And a couple hundred,
I was like 1,000 feet, and you're all like, no, whoa. I just went for some reference checks. I'm like, how tall is a space needle? It's like, I've been on top of this.
The three of us
have been on top of the space needle. That's like 650 feet.
Oh, God. Oh, we're a space needle away for sure.
1,000 feet. No big deal. So cameraman Sean, graciously, although he won, his donation is still going to Tails. We'll be dropping off that money here in the next week or so over to Tails Humane Society.
Sam
will do it. So we'll get that money over to those guys. Shout out cameraman Sean. But we all agreed, hey, this doesn't make much sense. So guys,
Sean was the one that was like, yeah, maybe not.
I will say, I'm thankful that we spun the wheel again and again. Little bit of pro move right there. Spin it two more times just to make sure that we have a secondary in case something happens. Baby Joe, come have fun with the boys.
And again, not Seth.
Not Seth. Sorry, Seth from Beecher.
Sorry, buddy.
So, guys, we are going to tailgate. It's going to be fun times, and we will be at this game. Bears open up as 4.5-point dogs.
That's it.
That's what I'm saying. 4.5-point dogs. You're 45.5 on the total, and the Bears are plus 175 on the money line. Am I missing something here? Like, we just lost Roquan and Robert Quinn, two of your better defenders on that team. I know you got Chase Claypool, but he's probably going to be on a snap.
Not even bear weather, and you're playing the Dolphins.
There's going to be like 40, 50 mile an hour wind gusts on Sunday.
Is that
they're
true?
Talking about.
That's not good for us. We kick a lot of field goals.
Under on the total.
We're going to get blown off the 400 section.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm pretty heavy.
We're anchor.
Jake is
You guys are
going
to have to hold me down.
We'll all chain together. Guys, it's like I saw that line, and I thought I was missing something. Like
4.5.
4.5 points.
I love the boys, but.
That's my thing.
Fuck.
Like, I love the boys, but I just can't imagine that. Like, we were 9.5 against the Cowboys. You were 9-point dogs against the Patriots, I believe, too. Weren't you, or something like that? But like, now you're 4.5. Is there just this belief that the Bears offense is fixed?
Anybody got the over under?
45.5.
I mean, we're scoring almost 30 points a game. The Dolphins are like an offensive juggernaut.
Like, is this just going to be a shootout
and
now?
The Dolphins just got Chubb. What is happening?
I'm fully expecting now to, like, go to this game on Sunday and watch just a full-blown shootout.
Over 60?
The Bears' defense is bad. We know it's bad, and you've got two of the better receivers and really one of the better offenses in the NFL right now with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle doing their thing.
What are they going to do against those two? Are you going to run zone, or are you just going to man up?
You're going to play a lot of, like,
play a lot of man. You kind of have to go zone.
I think
they're going to eat you alive.
No, I think you're going to run a lot of man with two safeties up on top. You're just, dude.
I mean.
Dude, if you go man, they're going to.
Give me every Tua over then. Because you're just going to get eaten alive.
I think you're not going to get any pressure. In zone.
You can't. Guys, you can't.
You have to try to rush.
No, you cannot try to blitz Tua. You cannot try to. You don't have the talent to try to rush.
I'm talking about sending seven people in that box.
And then it's rough.
And then it's just Jalen Waddle.
Cover zero.
Yeah.
You should see
on the five.
No
Omaha,
zero.
Omaha.
No zero coverage. None of that. You need one or two safeties up top all day. Keep everything in front of you. Sunday's going to be a bend but don't break thing for the defense. And now you're going to rely on guys like Jack Sanborn and Nicholas Morrow. This is going to be a big game for Kyler Gordon and for Jalen Johnson, Jaquan Brisker and Eddie Jackson too.
Oh,
this
man.
Is where you need those guys to step up. But you rely on you getting to Tua, you're going to have a bad time.
Did Teddy Spaghetti play last week? Was he back? Sorry, not Teddy Spaghetti. Tua.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, he was back.
Tua was back last week.
This feels to me, you remember the White Sox bet?
I got rich off that shit.
This feels to me like a Dolphins laying 4.5. But
see, I'm so the other way. Like,
you think the Bears are going to cover?
You think the Bears cover 4.5?
The Vegas has to know something. Vegas.
Oh,
has
this
to
is the situation where you're like, there's just no way. It makes no sense. They must cover.
They must.
This
cover.
Is the gambling trap
yeah,
game.
This is the gambling trap game. Exactly. This is one of those where, like, dude, there's no pot. Like, wait. Am I missing something here? This is a crowd of people running, and you get up and run too, but you don't know what they're running from. This is exactly the same situation. All right. We're going that way?
No. Oh, man.
So you think everybody, like, the field will be taking the Dolphins.
So we should take the Bears. So we should take, yeah.
Because it just doesn't make any sense.
You just want to zig when everyone's zagging.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more like, I don't know. I'm not necessarily thinking everyone's taking the Dolphins. I'm thinking 4.5 with the Bears is like, damn, that's.
We just lost by 20.
That's really nice, though. Like,
that's dude, like, real that was nice. Really sweet of them to do.
That's what this is. This is Vegas. This is Vegas just knowing Bears fans that, like, they're playing the line to Bears, or the bigger market, you know, in. Football is a religion here. Every Bears fan is just going to bet the Bears because they're, and so the money's going to go that way, and then they're going to rake.
This is more a. I don't think that this is a vote of
minus
confidence.
107.
I don't think that this is a vote of confidence for the Miami Dolphins as much as I think it's a vote of confidence for the Bears. Vegas thinks that the Bears can keep this within 4.5 points. They must know something.
I see.
Bears cover.
I think I'm going to put a very large bet on the Dolphins.
I'm your book right here, dog. What's up?
Oh, stop. No, I couldn't pay you money. That would hurt inside.
Oh, man.
I'll take to know your that I lost you. I know.
I'll take your money. The offense, you need them to continue to do things. You need Justin to take another step, continue to play competent, stick to this run game. Take advantage of a guy like Cody Whitehair being back on that offensive line for you. Activated off the IR.
Your best offensive lineman.
Your best offensive lineman just came back. You now have a fancy new convertible and Chase Claypool, and you want, and he's going to be on a minutes restriction, but guys, you're an athlete. Like, make some plays. Put a package together for him.
What do you think the Bears offensive line looks like?
Probably, so Braxton Jones at left tackle. You'll have Cody Whitehair at left guard. The hard part is, I don't know if Schofield plays center.
He
played pretty well. Schofield, I don't think, plays center.
Then why not keep Schofield at guard and move
Whitehair
to center?
You could, yeah, but Whitehair hasn't played center all year. So then you're back to this.
He's going to.
Must have fucked, though.
I can't do with another fucking.
It's so difficult to watch. Every game, it's like, dude, who do you see?
You're going through this just trying to. Avoid Mustafer being on the line.
I saw that. Yeah.
Mustafer is going to be on that.
Yeah,
line.
Guys, I think it's going to be Cody Whitehair. I think Sam Mustafer is at center. Schofield goes back to the bench. And then you got right guard is Tevin. Is Larry Bourne back?
I think we're still playing Riley Reed.
Don't. Come on.
It's every time he gets me. He gets me every time with that.
Be strong.
Yeah, I think it's Riley Reed. Reef. Fuck. I think it's Riley Reef.
That's good.
I think that's the offensive line that you go out there with. Again, just put another game plan together that fits your strengths. Run the ball 100 times. Put the ball in David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert's gut 15 times each.
They did that last game, and they lost by 20 points.
Yeah, because your team's bad.
Give me the 4.5. That's my point. Your team got worse.
See, this is what Vegas wants you to think.
But also mad.
Am I crazy here?
Yes.
Don't patronize me, asshole.
Hey, don't patronize me, fatso. You're a towel.
Oh, man. I could see it. I could see it's being. I think it's one or the other. I think we either, like.
Yeah, it's always one of the,
yeah, that's true.
It's a coin flip.
That's what a very insightful. But like, this is either like Bears barely cover or they get blown out by like 24 points. But
this is exactly what you said last week against the Cowboys.
I'm gonna ask Kate if I can put a large bet on this game. I'm gonna get permission first, but I do not have faith in the Bears to cover 4.
I want to ask you off air what large means.
A large for Dale. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got their unit.
Look at him.
Large. Hey, yo.
That's big.
Look at these hands. They place large bets.
What do you got?
I'm trying to rationalize.
We win if? Or?
I'm trying to rationalize.
Let's we win if because we got to call Sammy Stats.
We win if, guys. So let's do this. We win if. We are driving
home. Did you tell him we're calling him?
Yeah.
We're driving home from the Bears game on Sunday, right? Safely, we got a DD. We got two DDs because we got two vehicles there.
Yeah, we
right?
got two sober drivers.
Two sober drivers driving us home. We're all drunk in the back seats, high fiving, bear down, Chicago Bears. We're excited because the Bears won a football game on the lakefront. How did we do it, producer Jake? We win if.
Well, last week I said it was going to have to be a defensive victory, and I was very wrong. We win if on this game, if we drop 40. I think that's the only way. Points, which I would be ecstatic for being in the stadium for a 40-point game.
So you know that field outside of Rosemont where a bunch of people were throwing up for Seth from Beecher's bachelor party? By just, a bunch of people, I'm looking at you.
A bunch of people.
I puked in that field. Shout out, Seth. That was an incredible bachelor party.
We win if when the Dolphins come in and fly into O'Hare, mm-hmm. they think that's Soldier Field.
It's a hockey. I was there last week. It's a hockey rink.
Oh,
right
do they
now.
Have the boards up right now?
Yeah.
I drove to Minneapolis. They didn't fly, so I don't know that.
So your argument is
you go. I'll think
so
of
you're
quickly.
Saying there's
so you're chance. Saying there's no chance.
Guys, I think we win if Justin throws for 3 touchdowns. The ground game is going to do what the ground game does. This kind of ties into what you're saying, producer
Points.
Jake. Points.
Points.
Justin throws, or just Justin has 3 touchdowns on the day, whether it's 2 through the air.
He did
one
that last
rushing.
Week and he lost by 20.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Come on.
This is my we would.
Who do you have more faith in, though? Are you more scared of the Cowboys or are you more scared of the Dolphins?
Dolphins.
I'm okay. Wait. Because with the addition of Bradley Chubb,
they just got better. We just got worse.
Yeah, but like their defense, now that they have Bradley Chubb, like they're a little more scary. But that defense really ain't shit.
I'm not worried about the fucking defense, dog.
How? How could you not be worried?
I'm worried about the offense. Their offense. How
Great.
Are we going to stop them?
More points.
No.
More points.
It doesn't like one does not equal the other.
How do you beat an offense? With more offense.
With more offense. You got 2 bad defenses. At this point, it's a 7-on-7.
Right, but their defense is far better than our bad defense, and their offense is far better than our bad offense.
Yeah, but they have to play on our bad
Yeah,
field.
But...
Bear weather.
There it is. It's going to be 60.
They're playing. It's going to slow them down. They just can't run as fast on this field.
Guys, Tyreek just played in Kansas City.
So what do you want me to say? Like, we win if Jack Sanborn has 10 tackles?
I'm saying 3 sacks, 1 pick. I couldn't think of anything.
Guys, I think this is going to be a tough game for the Bears. I acknowledge it.
Yeah, like 4.5 fucking points tough.
How is this 4.5?
Gosh, it's free money.
Careful, Dale.
Dale. Shut up.
Dale.
Shut up.
We haven't done it in a while, but if there was ever a trap game... This one.
It's a
Guys, let's get Sammy Stats on the line. Sammy 4 Stats, points. Like we said, he's big wedding season right now, but the boy loves the boys. So get him on the line.
He's drinking Busch Light out of a bottle right now.
That's a delicacy where we come from.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Can't wait for this. Last time he was at an event. Oh.
Howdy.
Oh, hey there, bud. How you doing?
Sorry, that was my best Jake, producer Jake Dog.
Howdy.
Impression. I'm doing great.
Howdy.
Howdy. I'm in the lovely Quad Cities, if y'all are familiar.
I actually, okay, Trust Tree, I don't know what that means. Where are the Quad Cities?
Oh, so
you've been to Dubuque, right?
We.
So you're basically there.
Oh, it's in Iowa?
Quad is Iowa, Twin is Minneapolis.
Two of them are.
Yeah.
Two of them are on one side of the river, two are on the, you got like East Moline, yeah. Rock Island, you know, Moline. What's the other one? I forget.
I know some of these
words.
Is
it Davenport?
That's the one, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, so Sammy, thank you for taking time. Hit us with the Sammy Sats question of the week.
Time zones?
Okay, so, you know, the lovely KP helped me with this one a little bit.
KP.
By the way, have you guys ever had sushi?
Is that code for something?
No, it's just delicious, right?
Yes.
Well, I hope we make a shit ton of it. Like, fuck the Dolphins this weekend. Like, it's going to be awesome, right?
How did I not see that?
That might be a felony.
But so, in the spirit of dicing things up, I was discussing this with the other half, and she posed the question, like, if you were to pick three people, like, she's like, forget Marcos, Jake, and Dale. You could pick any three people to round out your quad for the zombie apocalypse. Who is it and why?
This is a good question.
Who are your other three?
Sam, do you have an answer?
Oh, yeah.
Give us your answer and we'll let you get back to it.
John Rambo.
Oh,
Iron
we're talking
Man.
About fucking imaginary
oh, wait,
people.
Fictional
I want Master
people
Chief.
Qualify?
Yeah, what the fuck is this?
Godzilla.
Zombieland. Woody
yeah,
Harrelson from Zombieland.
Real? Do my partners have to be?
Guys, it's your
I'm
question.
It's
dog.
Your question.
I'm
you set the table.
Like six Busch Light bottles deep right now.
Told you.
So.
Wow. You set the table. Go ahead, Sam.
So we got John Rambo.
No. If we have to go real life.
It's your question.
Real life. I'm going to go Aaron Donald.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Okay, Aaron Donald. So I have to be on the team. I feel bad for these other three guys. Oh, my God. Aaron Donald. That's an easy one. Who's the fastest man alive?
Usain Bolt.
We'll
Bolt.
Just pretend it's like Tyreek Hill, I guess. We'll
or
stick
or it's Usain
players.
Bolt.
Pick three football players to be on your team.
You changed the question.
That'll be easier, right?
It's a great question, Sam. We're going to have a great time talking about it here on the podcast now.
You have to listen to hear.
Three football players. I'll go Aaron Donald, Tyreek Hill, and I think lastly, Linval Joseph. Do you guys remember that guy?
Yep.
Big man.
Yep, big man.
Holy smokes, he could seal up a doorway. Oh, my God.
Is that code?
Right.
That's who I'm going with.
All right, Sammy. Thanks for taking the time out of the wedding.
All right. Take care, boys. Love
Bears.
You.
Bears.
Love you.
Bears.
So do we continue with the football player
No,
ones?
It's way more fun not the football player.
I agree. He got lost in that for a minute. Are we going fictional or are we
Try
going
to
real?
Keep them real because fictional. Oh no. You want to do fictional? We can
I
do
just
fictional,
had my three if we did fictional.
If All they're right, fictional, they have to be human. Godzilla can't be one.
Okay. Well, no. I won't do Godzilla.
Define
but.
Human.
I would do Predator. Zombie Apocalypse, my theory is Predator.
Oh, great pick.
RoboCop. And Fat Bastard.
Help me out with that last one. Help me get there.
If shit pops off,
uh-huh.
When shit pops off, I'm faster than one of them.
Okay.
I just thought too.
I just got to be faster than one of them. It's the old bear chasing you and you and a buddy.
But Fat Bastard lost so much weight at the end of Goldfinger. Remember, I got skinny. My neck looks like a vagina.
I do Fat Bastard. That's my three.
Fat Bastard.
And fat right. Bastard.
Dale? Jake? Okay, I'll go with Rob Van Dam from Bloodsport.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Raiden from Mortal Kombat.
Raiden.
Raiden. Yeah. Well, it's RAI, is it not?
Go on.
Fuck y'all. And so, like, you guys didn't specify how human. You went with Predator, so actually I'm okay with this.
I specified clearly.
The brothers from Full Metal Alchemist.
The brothers?
From Full Metal Alchemist.
Isn't that four now?
It's four.
No, they're my one.
No.
They're stacked on top of
it. It's like the ice climbers.
You get Ulrich.
It's like the ice climbers. It's the brothers from FMA.
You'll get one ice climber.
You get ice climber. And it's the fucking blue one.
Producer Jake, what about you?
I'm going to take Deadpool.
Solid.
You can't kill him.
Well, no, it's just comedic relief. It's going to take a while.
I missed a lot of, like, superheroes. RoboCop's sick, though.
Thanos?
I love RoboCop.
I'm taking Deadpool for sure. What?
The Dudley twins. D-Von and Bubba Ray.
From WWE.
D-Von, get the table!
Mick Foley and Mr. Sacco? Mankind, excuse me.
That's two people. That's
what is it?
Mr. Garrison and
it's
Mr. Hat.
It's a guy in a sock.
Mr. Garrison and Mr. Hat. Be Mr. two people. Hat.
Sorry, Jake. Who's your people?
Sorry, Jake.
So Deadpool.
Yep.
I'm going to take Naruto.
And Hermione Granger.
And Harry Potter.
The boy who lived. I fucking love those videos of people doing the Voldemort lines with accents. Like the people who do it with like just like Australian accents. Hilarious to me.
Did you watch the one I sent you of the Alabama guy?
Oh yeah, that was a great one. I've had a cadaver. And that's what I got. I'm a fan.
I walk in the house. I see James. Every cadaver. I kill him.
And that's what I found. The only thing stronger than hate.
I walk upstairs. I see the baby. I think, am I going to kill this baby? Yes.
Tits.
That was a good one.
That was fun.
I wouldn't do the football players one.
No, that would take.
Yeah. We're all dead.
We're all dead.
Guys, moving on. Let's get us some sports minutes, right? We will go around the city of Chicago, touch base with a couple of our favorite Chicago sports teams. And we'll start it off with the Blackhawks. Producer Jake.
Blackhawks. Guys, they're going to kill me. They're going to kill me. All year long, it's going to be an up and down ride. Yes. No.
You were going to say my name.
No.
I raised my hand.
I got one. And it's not. Come on. I got one.
I don't know if I
come
trust
on,
you.
Come on. Trust him.
I don't.
Trust him.
No.
He's got his hand up.
Come on. If man. I can trust you.
Jake, do it.
Marcos.
Has Patrick Kane been traded yet?
No.
Okay.
Dang it. So the Blackhawks. They opened the season losing their first three games. Follow that up with winning their next four. And then losing their next four before winning again last night. I don't know if I can take this. It is a roller coaster. They're actually in fourth place somehow in the first. They've got like 13 points actually right now. I don't know. It's going to be a fun season. It's crazy because the games they lose like 0-4. But then the games they win, it's like 6-5. Like there's just a shootout.
A lot of goals?
They're actually in third place. They have 12 points right now. First place is 15. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It's chaos at the United Center. It's up, it's down, it's back up again. I don't know. That's
the black line. Guys, moving on. Let's get into the Chicago Cubs. That Adele, anything on the Cubs?
Nope.
Then let's go Chicago White Sox. Yep. Producer Jake.
Yeah, you got some shit.
Bit of news, man. Get into it.
We finally found a new head coach, a manager.
Yay. Is he old?
Of men. No. Unless you considered like 50 years old.
No.
He's not a dinosaur. He's not a corpse. He has a pulse.
Ooh.
And it's what it is. If we look back, it's what I wanted. It's a player not previously from the organization who's not ancient or previously retired. What more could you want? It's breath of fresh air. And he speaks Spanish, so that's a dub.
Where was he before?
The Kansas City Royals. He was their bench coach before.
And what was their record?
Dale, he also has like two World Series wins. So,
can I ask a question here?
Yes,
because I think Dale does bring up a good point. Uh-huh. Like, I'm not jabbing at the record or anything, but if I remember correctly, Matheny got fired, and the Royals were looking for a new manager.
Mm-hmm.
Why not hire him?
Maybe they're stupid. I don't have all the answers.
Also, just remember, he does have two World Series. Tony had three of them, but.
Also was retired when we
That's right, he doesn't speak Spanish. That's the difference. My bad.
I think Tony does speak Spanish.
Does he really?
Yes.
Yeah, come on, you've been
I've never heard him
speak
it.
You've been here 80 fucking years. You better speak another language other than what else did you do?
I want to hear Tony La Russa speak Spanish very badly.
I bet it's good.
I bet it's great.
So Pedro Griffel, the new coach. They also got. Go ahead. I haven't heard.
It's like Peter Griffin, like but Italian. Oh. Pedro Griffel.
Charlie Montoya was hired as the bench coach for
Tony?
The Blue Jays. Huh?
Tony Montoya.
Frank Menichino out. Thank God. Worst hitting coach of all time.
The Menichino County line.
Yes. Ethan Katz being retained. Very excited about that. Daryl Boston out. Joe McEwing out. Thank God. That was a disaster. So out with the bad, in with the good, and keeping the good. So I'm okay with everything that's happened so far. I was getting nervous and was going to be very disappointed. I did want the Houston Astros hitting coach. Why wouldn't you want the hitting coach of a team that's in the World Series right now? I don't know. But I'm okay with this for the moment. Plus, all the early fluff of him coming to the city and the content that's coming out, good stuff so far. He's like already they released a video of him FaceTiming Eloy. He went to the South Side and bought like everybody that was in this restaurant lunch. They're kind of just propping him up. But
good coach speak.
It's all fluff.
That's a thing for Chicago people, though. You want to be a beloved coach.
Oh, yeah.
You want to be
go somebody, buy some blue collar people some lunch.
Be in the town.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
be in that community.
Be part of the schooling. Yes. Like, do the events. Do the whole thing. Because, like, you don't even have to win that much. You just win a little bit and are active in the community. You're good. Mm-hmm. But then you win a World Series, and a guy like Ozzie Guillen never has to buy another drink in the city ever again.
Yeah, I saw also something that, like, they kind of followed the Bulls approach to this. They had, like, 30 candidates, you know, weeded them down. Got down to 8. And then I think Griffel was the second person they interviewed. They seem to be happy about it. I don't see Rick Hahn going anywhere. There was questions about that. Seems like he's here to stay. Now it's all about the offseason. Who are you going to get to fix what happened last year?
Sounds who are you like going to get? And honestly, aren't you looking at like who's going to go?
Yeah, probably. So they were talking about that because Rick Hahn kind of mentioned that, you know, part of the problem was you had people playing out of position, specifically first baseman playing corner outfield. So that kind of makes it sound like Abreu's probably out the door unless he, you know, plays bench DH or something like that and just wants to be on the team. But like I would expect Andrew Vaughn to be playing a lot of first base next year, stuff like that. Getting people back into positions they're supposed to be playing and then filling those holes in the offseason. So expect them to be signing outfielders.
Guys, and let's get into the World Series. Electric postseason.
It's been great.
An awesome World Series.
It has been fantastic.
This is, dude, it's been such a breath of fresh air. Like,
the slowest game so far has been a combined no-hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, it's such a Phillies thing. The day after you go off for like just a complete like powerhouse dominating shot, like 5 home runs in that game.
To get no-hit.
And then you get no-hit the next day.
Did you guys watch the game last night?
Yes.
That catch in the ninth inning was incredible.
Realmuto has a triple. Is that
McCormick?
Yeah.
Chaz McCormick.
If McCormick doesn't make that catch, like, that's a triple, and we're talking a different outcome.
I mean, that was as high as he could have jumped, as high up the wall as he could have gotten.
Those plays are a little harder to make in Wrigley Field. You're running into a fucking brick wall.
That is true.
Brick wall and a basket.
A basket probably catches. That's probably a home run.
Also true. That's a great point, yeah.
The Astros are like the prime example of, like, I know that they had the whole cheating scandal and whatever. Like, let's move on here.
Yeah, but they're so good.
Dude, they're so good. And they're good, like, talent from within.
Oh, they're going to be good for the next few years.
Pena is awesome.
Jeremy Pena is going to be so sick.
Jeremy Pena is fantastic. Chaz McCormick's looking great. And then you got the studs. You got old man Verlander still doing his thing out there. That first inning was shaky. I thought we were going to see another typical Justin Verlander World Series performance. And he locked it in. Fantastic.
Well, outside of Verlander, I forget the name of the guys right now. I'm just drawing a blank. But like, they have homegrown starters starting for them in the World Series. How many teams get to say that nowadays? Mm-hmm. Because most of your World Series contenders are buying rotations. That's where baseball's gone. It's where good teams go. These people have multiple homegrown talents. Like, that's
good scouting.
That's
good scouting,
scary.
Good development.
It's great development. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Dusty Baker.
Also, talked about the Chaz McCormick play. The real play was the one before that in the eighth inning. Mancini's play at one with runners on at scoring position. That was a bullet. Schwarber hit down the line at the bag, and he picked that.
I'd have had it.
That was.
Yeah, you would have.
You would have.
You fucking would have.
Thank you guys for both saying
fuck
that.
Fuck yes, Dan.
Wow.
You would have.
It was a joke when I said it, but you guys were both sincere saying you might have gotten
you,
it.
Honestly, no joke.
Thank you guys. I don't that made me you feel a little better about my day today. Thank you.
Guys, Kyle Schwarber. I root for Kyle Schwarber so hard. I'm super jelly that, like, two guys on that Phillies World Series team are guys that could still be Cubs to this day if we do it the right way. Like, Castellanos and Schwarber could still be in the uniform, and they're off to bigger and better things, but it's just like, man, it's a little bit of that envy there.
Schwarber's just made for the postseason.
He's fucking electric, dude.
He is so
Schwarber
awesome.
Schwarber hitting leadoff.
It's so crazy.
I love that shit. First pitch, like jump it. On that. Don't throw him a first pitch mm-hmm. fastball. He's going to jump all over it.
He deserves it. I think that he's a underrated player in this league, and I think that he's going to be a free agent.
Or he might have signed a 1-year deal.
I don't think he signed I could be wrong. I don't recall.
It was a 1 or a 2.
So, I mean, he's going to get paid.
Because he only got paid $10 million on that most recent
absolutely.
Deal.
Well, the other thing is he's looking serviceable in the outfield now. So, like, that was one of the big question marks when we were trying to move him, because it was before Universal DH. So you said, cool, where's he going to play? If he's going to be serviceable, we already know he has a cannon, he hits fucking yams, that man's going to get paid. As a lefty as well.
Like, it'd be nice to see the Phillies win. I think the Astros are going to close this out in 6 games. Like, and it is what it is. Astros win again. Yay. But, like, that Philly story is cool. That Bryce Harper story is fantastic. Like, Bryce Harper has become this, like, I can't believe that he's taken his game to another level. Mm-hmm. Like, him and Schwarber together on that team is just, I always get flashbacks to that home run derby where they went just back and forth, dude, and it was just electric. And now these guys are.
Oh, when Bryce Harper cheated and stole it from Kyle Schwarber.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm not bitter.
You're good.
It's a home run derby, man.
And he cheated.
Okay. Why do you care?
Because I wanted the Cubs to win a home run derby. Like, and
the Cubs don't win a home run derby.
Whoa, you bite your tongue. Sure, they could have.
Just Maxie hasn't had an entrance since fucking Canerco.
Oh. Burn!
Got me.
Guys, and let's move on to the Chicago Bulls. Bulls sitting at 5-4, 6 in the Eastern Conference. They are currently playing the Boston Celtics. It's like 63-57 or something like that. They're down. This Bulls team's streaky. This Bulls team's up and down with the Zach LaVine knee thing, and they're definitely getting his minutes, you know, back up to it. It's like
that game against Brooklyn.
Dude, that closeout fourth quarter, he was fantastic. And I know that the Nets, and let's save it for later, like, I know that the Nets are a mess right now, but, like, Zach LaVine did fourth quarter things, 20 of his 29 points in that fourth quarter. Like, guys, this Bulls team can make noise. You just need them to get hot at the right time. You need some of these guys, like, you need Zach LaVine to really come back from this knee. You need Ayo Dosunmu to continue to play like Ayo's played. Ayo's been fantastic.
He's been a revelation.
Guys, I'm going to just throw this out there, and I don't even know if this is a lukewarm take or something. It's time to start talking about extending Ayo.
Oh, for sure. I don't think you're out of line at all.
It's time to start talking about, like, a contract extension. Make him part of your long-term plans. Ayo looks like he could be your starting point guard.
Well, the issue is going to be Lonzo Ball's contract.
Yep.
Flat out, that's the end of this conversation. He's eating up money. The NBA, the salary game is such a game, and you just paid Zach, and you're going to have holes to fill.
The thing is that the Bulls could now start to operate like one of these upper echelon teams, depending on how much success they have, are you willing to, because unlike the NFL, you can go over the cap. Hmm. Are you willing to pay the luxury tax?
Nope.
Who owns the Bulls?
The Bulls?
What did
is
I say?
Is it Bezos? No, it's not Bezos.
It's the Waltons.
No. Sam. No. Fucking is the Koch brother? No, they're assholes.
Jay-Z.
No.
That'd be cool.
It's still Jerry.
Guys, but Jerry gave the sign off for a $214 million acquisition.
Yeah, it just took 25 years.
Sure. Yeah. The Bulls could start to operate if they feel that this team is good enough and they need to continue to put talent around them.
Pipe dream.
Well, that it's going to be part of that. It's going to be, can you get, you know, when you're in need of a power forward, can you get Blake Griffin to come to your team on a team-friendly deal because you're a contender now? Can you get Boogie Cousins to come and play center? Not that we need him because Drummond's playing really well, actually, right now. Drummond's, but, like, can you get those vets to come in on those vet minimum deals? Those are huge deals to contending teams.
You keep getting production from guys like Javonte Green. You keep getting like Goran Dragic off the bench. That bench is fantastic.
How big is Javonte Green?
I would just say get the idea of the luxury, throw that away, and just pray that AK can. Sure. Translate into which
language? Swahili.
And pray. No.
Dang it.
And pray that AK can operate within Jerry's means, because we are not going over the luxury tax.
Yeah, I think it is a pipe dream. But, like, that's – you got to pay to play.
Jerry don't pay to play. Jerry hopes that he falls into one.
Come on, he fell into Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He fell into – Michael Jordan
fell into a 99 win team that ran the postseason.
One loss,
which, by the way, we didn't talk about
that. I know, I brought it
totally,
up for you.
Totally forgot about it.
Dan Christensen posted it.
Almost slipped on that. Houston was close to breaking that White Sox streak, and they failed. Thank you, Phillies.
I think that you don't make the determination on being a luxury tax type of spending team and like starting to really, really pay for players like that until you see how you compete with the rest of the East. The rest of the East got better, right? Like the Cavs are great. Like that team's, the Bucks are great. Like even we saw games against the Pacers. Kevin Durant's still in the East, so that's always going to be a thing.
It doesn't matter. Even if the Bulls were the number one team in the East and they were like, this player puts us over the top, Jerry wouldn't do it. He'd be like, you've done this well with what you got. Go ahead. Finish it. That's what would happen.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying the Bulls are going to win a championship this year or anything like that. But
can I ask you a quick question?
Please.
If you are not going to be competitive and you have the Bulls roster as it is, should you blow the Bulls roster up?
Oh, God.
Dale, you bastard.
Dale.
I'm not doing this right now.
You're just not going
to. I've never yelled at you more than I've yelled at you that day. Like,
I remember.
In my whole life.
People bring it up to me occasionally because it was such a fun episode. But, like, if you're not going to fucking win, what are we doing?
And I understand that to an extent.
Heated.
I understand that to an extent. But, like, you still need to see what you've got. And not only that, but, like, because then you're basically saying, like, if in 1 or 2 years, if in 1 or 2 years you make the determination that it's not, then you're just restarting. And every time that you restart, it's not a 1 year restart and then you're back to it next year. It's like a 3-4 year restart to then get another 2 years to then see if your team's good enough. Like, you've got talent in place. Who knows? Maybe there's another disgruntled superstar. I'll throw this out there. Maybe down the road, there's a disgruntled somebody. Somebody's upset. Somebody wants a change of scenery. KD wants out of the Nets because it's fucking chaos. Wow, you're crazy. You don't want KD on your team right now.
No. I hear you.
So you trade a first round pick and you trade Io, and you go get yourself another star, a superstar, the next one that's available. Possible. I'm not saying. I just said extend Io. But I'd be more inclined to, like, do some sort of shakeup like that versus break up the whole team.
I think this, what we see right now, will mostly be the team going forward for the whole season. Well, then, trade deadline, you might do a little something. I don't expect
a little salt, a little extra something on top.
I don't expect something major shakeup would happen.
Well, especially if they're like third through seventh seed, third through sixth seed, or something like that. Yeah, that's bulls.
Even if they're one seed, what are you gonna do?
If you're the one seed, you trade some young guys and you go get another star.
Maybe. I don't know. I think what the stuff you're talking about is
pie in the sky.
Hot, yeah. Pipe dreams.
I've been known. Been known to love the pipe dreams. Guys, anything else on the Bulls?
Mm-mm.
Then let's do some schmegments. Mm-hmm. You guys want to do some schmegments with me? Let's do some schmegments. Who's this week's not that guy? I will start.
Ooh.
Not that guy's Elon Musk.
Oh, okay.
This whole Twitter takeover thing.
Stephen King just bodying him.
Is he? Like,
oh, so like Stephen King said like, fuck you, when he said he's going to start charging people. And Elon goes, what about for $8? And the moment he said that, it has now changed to $8 just because Stephen King told him to fuck off. So now his whole business model has changed based on that one interaction.
So I didn't even know that it actually happened. Cause like,
oh, it's not yet. It has not happened yet.
I'm so lost. Cause it happened like a month ago.
What is it?
That he was announcing that they accepted his offer. And
like a while back.
So he owns Twitter. His first day at like Twitter HQ or the main campus or whatever.
So he does not, because I heard, I get bits and pieces. He bought them and then the deal fell through. And it's now bad. You're saying he has them.
He has them, owns it, and he's already fired like a bunch of the higher ups that were working there before. Gave him some sick, I think three of the top people.
And like, I'm not defending the move, but that happens with any.
Yeah.
Thing. Like you buy a company, you put in your own people.
With a sweet little severance package for three people of like $122 million combined or something.
Right,
like
but he's
that.
Also about to lay off a bunch of people tomorrow, I think.
So it's this, it's just this whole like, dude, optics. I preach this every week, I feel like. This just looks bad. And I know you're a rich troll and you can afford to like do things like this. But like, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not get crazy with this. That's not what Elon Musk believes. Not that guy. Producer Jake.
Not that guy for me this week. I saw this crazy story. This woman was arrested for... She... There was a big like murder case and the police department was speaking on the case to the public, right? Giving a press conference. This woman was hired as the sign language interpreter, but didn't know sign language.
Oh. Fucking gold.
The old fake it till you make it.
The video is unbelievable. She's just throwing up all sorts of hand signs, touching her chest, doing crazy stuff with her hands and her fingers. Doesn't know a lick of sign language. And apparently she's had a string of fraud issues over her career. So, and the interview with the chief of police where he speaks on how this happened, he's like, yeah, I guess I just didn't ask enough questions in the interview.
Awesome.
Incredible.
Not that guy. Not that guy.
I do find it crazy though that, you know, she gets in all of the trouble even though
they were negligent.
They were negligent in their hiring process.
It's like how it goes back to,
it's like, y'all hired me.
I know Microsoft Excel.
I'd be like, yeah, I've clicked on it before.
I'm proficient.
Everybody's resume says proficient in Microsoft Excel.
I actually do consider myself proficient, if not better, at Excel.
Agreed. My resume says Excel wizard. Where's yours?
It does not say wizard. There's no wizardry on my resume.
Hello, Dale.
I wanted to say this, but I didn't want to get into it. So just hateful people. Not that guy.
Get into what you were going to get into.
There's been a lot going on with some high profile athletes expressing their opinions, and then
I'll get into it for you.
Yeah, guys, like Kyrie's not that guy. No, and I don't claim to know that group of people's plight, the Jewish people's plight by any means, but like Kyrie coming out and doing everything that he did and having been given so many fucking opportunities to just say sorry. You didn't even have to fucking mean it. To the point where Adam Silver, a Jewish man, is coming to you to explain this to you, to give you first-person perspective and offer you an out, by the way, and you just spit in that man's face, metaphorically, not actually, but like the moment that happens, boom, here's a minimum 5-game ban. What happens like hour or so after that? A PR person written apology on Instagram. Hateful people, fuck off. Like, it's just so bad.
And the apology's not enough at this point.
No.
Like, at this point, dude, and I kind of have a little gripe with the NBA on this one, too. Like, that was 6-7 days. Like, Kyrie's suspension and Adam Silver's, like, statement was 6 to 7 days after the original post. That's 6 to 7 days too long.
Well, the one thing that I'll give the NBA a grain of salt here is that, like, as a normal person watching this unfold, you're expecting him to come out with the apology the next day. And then it became the next day. And then it became the next day. And then Adam Silver scheduled his meeting. And then they had the meeting. And then his ass got suspended that 6th or 7th day. But, like, you're sitting there going, oh, he's going to be forced to apologize, yeah, if nothing else.
Do you guys see our guy Nick Friedell, or hear our guy Nick Friedell going back and forth with Kyrie in that press conference? There was like a...
I did not.
There was like media... Like, you... I highly, highly recommend you go... It's probably only a minute long interaction. But like, Kyrie just continues to try to dismiss Friedell, and Nick just...
This isn't the first time they've gotten into
it. Yeah,
either.
And yeah, they've gotten into it constantly, but this is like the biggest one, and Nick just wasn't having it anymore. Like, Nick stuck... Like, he just stuck to his guns, kept going after him, and good, man. Like, that guy sucks. Like, that guy sucks. You're not sensitive. You have this platform, and this is what you do with your platform. Go somewhere. Would you be surprised if the Nets just released him?
Yes, because the amount of money that's tied up. That'd be an interesting process, is what I mean by that.
And then to convince your fan base, if he hits waivers, like, convince your
Fan base in New York City. It's just a high population of Jewish people.
Yep.
Like, come the fuck on. You know how hard it is to I gotta stop before I get upset.
Then let's calm you down. Let's get into who can or cannot dog sit for you, Dalladale.
So this is what I had written down, and it was because I got so upset about it. Mine is just Dolly Parton, because she's just an awesome human being. She's just every sense of it. If you don't know how much good Dolly Parton's done for the world, go take a look at her Wikipedia page. She feeds the poor. She gives education to the less fortunate. She does all she can for those that don't have what she had. And like,
probably drinks Bush Light.
She's the best. Good for you, Dolly Parton.
Copper Tops.
Copper Tops.
Producer Jake.
Some diesels.
Dog sit?
Who can or cannot dog sit for you?
Dog sitting for me is the crazy son of a bitch NASCAR driver.
The one that shot the edge?
Guys,
Ross Chastain.
Watched this video.
I've not seen the cockpit view yet.
Over, oh my God.
And over again. I've seen every angle. I cannot get enough of it. It is video game-esque. The balls to just be like, I'm going to total this car, but God damn it, I'm going to make that playoff. I'm going to go from 12th to 4th like that.
I learned...
10th to 5th, I think.
Whatever it was. He had to get top 4 to make the playoff.
I learned so much about NASCAR, like, with that video and everything else. Like, I don't care about NASCAR. Dude, I'm...
Nope.
Hooked. This could be a one event. This could be a one singular moment.
It's unbelievable. Like, it can't happen at any other track. You know, what's crazy is in that final lap, he not only, you know, went up, jumped all those places, he had the fastest lap in track history because he totaled his car. He beat every pole time leading up to that race. It's unbelievable. It's basically cheating. They've ruled it illegal for like future races. Like, no, you can't do that.
I'm watching this now for the first time, and my jaw dropped the entire time watching this video. And it's incredible, because the moment that the lane clears It's that everyone knows this. It's happened to them at least once in their life. You have less than a fraction of a second to make a decision. And this guy chooses anarchy. I'm going to total this vehicle. But so you're saying there's a chance.
Well, and what's cool is he said afterwards that like him and his brother used to play like NASCAR 2005 on GameCube a ton. And like this was the move. Like, you just
do it.
This was what you do.
So last lap.
He's like, I've never tried it before.
Of course
I didn't know if it would work. Yeah, because
turns out this shit's expensive.
Yeah, none of your fucking sponsors are gonna be okay with you wrecking a car every.
Well, they are
weekend.
when you make the final playoff,
dude.
They're like, yes.
And the amount of pub that they're gonna get out of this.
Oh
yeah, that team's okay with this.
Can you imagine being one of the other drivers?
It's a
like, what the fuck is that?
Well, was it? I think it's Hamlin, the guy he beats to get fourth place. He pushes Hamlin to fifth. Hamlin doesn't make the playoff because he doesn't get fourth.
Awesome. Just awesome.
Guys.
It's awesome.
Dog sitting for me is the folks over at ESPN 1000.
I love them.
Right?
Which love ones are your favorite? Your favorite one person?
One or show?
Show. That's fair. Favorite show?
Mine's Waddle and Sylvie.
It's Waddle and Sylvie for sure.
Yeah,
I love you.
You could do Black and Abdallah.
It's Waddle and Sylvie, but Black and Abdallah real close.
I heard something today, and it was Waddle and Sylvie. It might have been yesterday, but I think it was today. Waddle and Sylvie compared Black and Abdallah to Waddle and Sylvie when they were young and still like doing fun stuff
for
together.
Sure. Yeah,
they're like, it's just buddies, like being buddies and assholes and talking about sports.
But it's even better because they like grew up best friends.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so like I've loved AM1000 forever. I remember when Black and Abdallah were the interns and they were getting coffees for people. Like, it's just gone full circle. So I've always thought doing some sort of like sports broadcasting, or we podcast here about our favorite sports teams, and like part of it is because of the interest that I've gathered from those guys. Not to gush about them, but it was just announced that AM1000 will be the new home for the Chicago Bears.
I did hear
so
that.
Oh, nice.
Now will catch Bears games on AM1000 airwaves. It's fantastic. That means we're going to get...
still going to be Jeff?
Yeah, it's got to be, right? It's going to be Jeff and Thayer still.
Good.
It sounds like it's just going to be basically bring everybody over. You're going to make your tweaks and stuff to your side, but almost like when they acquired the White Sox and their broadcast privileges. Like,
we're also going to get Jeff Thayer interviews, like just like how like Connor McKnight gives like you know, all the TV and radio hosts give interviews, you know, before games coming up. You're going to get those guys now.
Chicago's spoiled with our radio personalities and broadcast teams.
Like,
radio,
the Cubs
TV,
are great.
The
White Sox are great.
The Bulls are fantastic.
Oh,
Adam
so
Amin is,
fun to watch.
Adam Amin's all over the place. Guys, it's take a minute and just look at all at the broadcast landscape for your favorite Chicago teams.
The Blackhawks are being
easier.
Blackhawks are in a rebuild.
Yeah, Blackhawks are in a rebuild, but they had Eddie O, who was one of the greatest
and Pat,
the greatest guys of all time in that profession. Like, we've been spoiled with it. I'm super excited because as a Bears fan, like, we now get more of that coverage. We now get more access to players. You're going to hear more. It's going to be more Bears focused. Sign me up for that.
And I'll never forget turning the volume to mute to listen to Pat and Ron instead of fucking Joe Buck.
Yep.
Kate knows when Joe Buck's on. She's like, "Grandma, fucking hear about this."
I
know he hates the Cubs.
The Blackhawks are getting fun too, because so they have their broadcast team, but then the interim show people, and stuff like that. We're now getting former like champions. So we're now getting Scott Darling is on the show. Yet Andrew Shaw is on the show. Patrick Sharp is on the show.
Sharpie Mutt and Darling.
Dude,
I
it's
like it.
Awesome.
Does Darling have the full beard right now?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I like to see.
So big congrats to those guys. I'm excited to hear Bears games with them and see what they do with it. So guys, anything else?
Bears.
Then that is going to be a wrap on our Brian Urlacher episode. Episode 54. Guys, episode 55, we will go over a Dolphins loss. Who do we play after I said Dolphins loss.
Dolphins loss. That's what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Wait, no, not Dolphins loss. It's just the Dolphins game.
Oh.
We don't know what we're going over. The Dolphins game hasn't happened yet. We could cover the 4.5. I'm just saying.
Bears.
All right? So we'll go over the Dolphins game. I don't know who they play following week after, but I'll be drinking just as much Kool-Aid after this one into the next one.
Maybe we'll have Baby Joe on.
That'd be nice.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Hopefully Sammy Stats is back too. Get the boys back together. I love you guys. I'm so stoked to be doing this. See Red. Bear down. Love you guys.
Bears.
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 Jake doesn't use dryer sheets for dryer sheets. He uses them for just body sheets. He just rubs them on himself.
It's bad. It's so bad. They don't win. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger,
but she ain't messing with no Richard Seymour. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. The boys are back. Not that guy. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. How big are you on sports? Not that guy.
I need to put notes on that.
Right. Oral Roberts, yep. Man.
I'm drunk.
Drunk.
Bears.
Bears.
It's looking more like Jake might have been right, but do I know anything about that man? Absolutely not going into that, right?
You don't have a choice.
No, that's not what I said.
Okay. Feel me mine.
I watched all the tape. Watched all the tape.
To say where you work, but then get the hell out of the chair.
The best friends in the whole world.
Go Chaos.
Especial.
Not that guy.
Marcos disagrees.
Sean's legally blind.
Let him up, you dumb bitch.
It's Malort.
What if he wants to be here?
What? Yeah. I rode with him for 3 weeks, dude.
Football guys.
Really fast.
I need it in like 15 seconds, though.
Yeah, your face is too narrow.
That guy.
Dude, I love celebrating.
The Malort's on the table.
We're doing our best to put out as much as we can put out.